Amen. Thank you very much, ladies. Please take your Bible and turn to Psalm 83. Psalm 83. When we started the Psalms, I never thought we'd get to Psalm 83, and here we are. Less than 70 Psalms, and we'll be done. So I feel like we're accomplishing stuff. As I started this, I thought, man, I'm going to get tired of repeating the same themes. Because it seems like all the Psalms say the same thing. But they all say it so differently that when you get to it, you're like, wow, that's the best way to say it. So anyway, I want to preach tonight about being encouraged in the name of the Lord. And that's what this psalm really covers. The Bible says, a song or psalm of Asaph. Keep not thou silence, O God, hold not thy peace, and be not still, O God. For lo, thine enemies make a tumult, and they that hate thee have lifted up the head. They have taken crafty counsel against thy people and consulted against thy hidden ones. They have said, come and let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel may be no more in remembrance. For they have consulted together with one consent. They are confederate against thee. The tabernacles of Edom and the Ishmaelites of Moab and the Hagarenes, Gebal and Ammon and Amalek, the Philistines with the inhabitants of Tyre. Asher also is joined with them. They have holpen the children of Lot, Selah. Do unto them as unto the Midianites, as to Sisera, as to Jabin at the brook of Kishon, which perished at Endor. They became as dung for the earth. Make their nobles like Oreb and like Zeb, yea, all their princes as Zeba and Zalmunna, who said, let us take to ourselves the houses of God in possession. O my God, make them like a wheel, as the stubble before the wind, as the fire burneth a wood, and as the flame setteth the mountains on fire. So persecute them with thy tempest, and make them afraid with thy storm. Fill their faces with shame, that they may seek thy name, O Lord. Let them be confounded and troubled forever. Yea, let them be put to shame and perish, that men may know that thou, whose name alone is Jehovah, art the most high over all the earth. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for your love for us, and thank you for the word of God that reminds us, helps us to be aware of who you are and be drawn again to who you are. Thank you for the psalm here written by Asaph by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, and in just the rehearsal of the things that you have done and how that helps us to stay focused and encouraged on who you are. And I pray that as we look into your word tonight, that you once again would use it to help us to be drawn to you, and God, to, as it states here in the last verse, to see your name and to know your name, who you are, and the fact that you are our God and that you have overcome and you will overcome. And Lord, we just thank you and praise you for these reminders in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. This psalm is the last psalm that we'll come across that is written, that is entitled A Psalm of Asaph. The time of the writing is consistent with 2 Chronicles chapter number 20. If you want to turn there, we have looked at this once before, because it appears that several of these were written around this time. But in 2 Chronicles chapter number 20, the Bible gives us the account, and then we see it reiterated here in the psalm, in Psalm number 83, that this account that is here concerning Jehoshaphat and the war that came against them, that came about, verse number 14, the Bible says, then upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jeiel, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. And he said, "Hearken ye all Judah and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's." And then he tells them what God is going to do. The first part of the chapter talks about those who've risen up and those who are coming to destroy them. And then we go through the chapter and we see God, in spite of who the children of Israel are at the time, delivers them. Well, this psalm is written concerning this time, and it's written evidently by the man who would be called or considered a son of Asaph. And so when we put this all together, we can see a pattern, and this pattern has to do with why he was encouraged by God. So when you're faced with adversity, what is it that you need most to be encouraged? There's a big movement. If you're going through something difficult, think positive. That'll help you. Yeah. If you just think positive, you'd be better off. You'd quit being so negative, Ryan. Just think positive. Rachel, quit shaking your head. Think positive. That'll help you. Well, I mean, there's a little truth to that, but what is there positive to think about in every part of adversity? Sometimes you're buried by it. In this case, what is happening is not just a little trifle. It's a significant order to destroy Israel. In fact, these companies of people that come together that are named here, they have come for the sole purpose of annihilating Israel. They wanted Judah wiped out. They wanted Jerusalem wiped out. They want everything to do with God wiped out. They want to take over the land. And it's interesting because that has never changed. It's still exactly the same. It's been that way since they went into the land, and it's still this way, and this prayer is still good because it's not the people in the land. It's not we ourselves that are going to protect us. We cannot encourage ourselves enough to take the bull by the horns and win. Even in the day, if you read history, especially American history, and you look at as the Declaration of Independence was coming to be signed, and you see the people that stepped forward, they spoke of God winning the battle. That if it was God's will, they would win. Because they were a less significant nation. At the time of the writing of this, Judah has, they're down to, hundreds of thousands of people, not millions, because of all the death and destruction that's happened. And so, to find real encouragement, you need to know God. And when I say know God, I don't mean be saved. I mean you need to know God when something significant happens. So in this case, we're gonna look at it from the way that it's written, but this is the enemy rising up. But you could say that Satan is always on the attack. You know what he wants from you? He wants to destroy you. He wants to wipe out your testimony. He wants you. He wants you to get sick, and he wants you to make God's name. He wants you to put a mark against God's name. He wants that. He will send people in your path to make you start thinking that it's okay to do that. Sometimes Christians. The enemy is real. So well, the first part there says, God. So you're going to see God's name and his attributes and even his actions. That's all he talks about. So he says, "Keep not thou silence, O God. Hold not thy peace and be not still, O God. For lo, thine enemies make a tumult." So a tumult is they're making a lot of noise. They're threatening. They're saying, "We're going to come and get you. We're going to take you out." And they're rebelling against you. "And they that hate thee have lifted up the head." Understand that when you are in any kind of adversity, Satan will attack and wants to attack because it's not necessarily you. Don't think yourself so highly that God that Satan is only attacking you. Well, why is Satan doing this? You know what he wants? He wants to attack the name of God. And so if he can put a mark against it, he will. Now, if you know the history up to this point, Israel has already walked away from the name of God. They're already a false God-worshiping nation. You can look at America right now, and you can see where we've been and where we are now, and you can say, we're not a Christian nation. And you know what that's a mark against? Not a mark against us, it's a mark against God. And so when Asaph writes this, when he says, God, they're after your name. They're rising up and creating a tumult over you. Look, Satan hates you, but he doesn't hate you enough to single you out for your purpose. He is singling you out so that he can find the weakest to besmirch and put marks against the name of God. And he's going to do it in whatever way that he can. It may be some adversity that you have not brought upon yourself. The children of Israel were children of Judah were not had not they were actually moving in a decent direction. It wasn't good. This is about the time that Hosea would be writing his prophecies, but they weren't doing great, but they were doing better. They were maintaining the word of the Lord, and now here comes the enemy. What are we going to do? How are we going to stop this? The enemy clearly is against you, God. So, first of all, take heart that the attack against you is something that Satan, you go, well, how can I be encouraged in this? Well, it's not just you that's going to be attacked. The Bible says that this is accomplished in all of us, and Satan wants to destroy the name of God, and if it takes us to do it, he would love that. They have taken crafty counsel against thy people and consulted against thy hidden ones. They have said, come and let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel may be no more in remembrance. The enemy wanted Israel removed out of the land so that God would be, they could say that God was a weak God. That's exactly why Satan would attack you or would attack me, so that our testimony would be so wrecked that people are looking around the enemy. Satan can take that and say, see? These are things that we don't take into account when we're going through adversity. We don't stop and say, man, my response here is going to reflect on who God is and the name of God. So, first of all, they're attacking God. They want to destroy any testimony that he has. In verses 5 through 8, they say the enemy can be identified. You could sum this up by saying every enemy around us wants us gone. For they have consulted together with one consent. They are confederate against thee, the tabernacles of Edom, and the Ishmaelites, and Moab, the Hagarenes, Gebal, Ammon, Amalek, the Philistines with the inhabitants of Tyre. Asher, which is Assyria, also is joined with them. They have holpen, they're helping the children of Lot. God, these are the enemies. These are the adversaries. Sometimes, we must be humbled by adversity before we will look up and see the Lord. Sometimes we must be defeated before we can have the ultimate victory. It would be better to seek the Lord in times of prosperity than to wait until trouble comes. Why? Because when trouble comes, all you see is the enemy. You see the adversity. He says, God, I'm naming these people before you. These are the ones who have gathered against us. If you read Second Chronicles chapter number 20, you'll see, sure enough, that's exactly who was there. They wanted to destroy, they wanted to move the people out of the land. They were ready to take it over, and these are the people that were involved. And he says there at the end of the identification, rest. Because when you tell God something, you can trust God with it. See, we get in adversity, and somebody might say, have you prayed about this? Well, yes. Then why are you so worried about it? Well, because don't you think it's irresponsible not to worry? No. Actually, that's why you pray, so that you won't worry. That's the purpose of this prayer, naming every part of the adversity. Now, your and my adversity may not be people. It may be just a circumstance. But still, in that adversity, if you have practiced before you've entered into the adversity and you've sought God before you go into the adversity, it will be natural for you to seek God in the adversity. You say, well, why is that significant? Well, because we're talking about God's name. We're trying to be encouraged in God's name. Knowing that I'm laying this at the feet of God and then worrying about it, isn't that questioning who God is? Yeah. It's saying, God, I'm laying this at your feet, but I'm going to go ahead and pick it up because you can't handle it. Anybody remember the children of Israel getting to the about 3 years into it, getting to the edge of the promised land before they started doing the wilderness wanderings? The Bible, remember we read this, that God was angry because they doubted God could do what God said he could do, even though they had witnessed all of the things that had happened in Egypt. They visibly, with their eyes, saw all of it happen. Amazing miracles that separated them from the Egyptians in the middle of it. And in all of that, they doubted God. I'm telling you, that's who we are. When we get in adversity, if we've not sought God, here's what we know about the children of Israel getting ready to go into the promised land at that moment. They had not been seeking God anyway. And so when it came time, when Joshua and Caleb said, no, God's delivered this into our hands, and God will do this, they were like, no, and they wanted to stone them. Well, that's exactly, when you see the adversity, when you name it, you got to believe that God's going to deal with it. That's who God is. Adversity is something you and I have no control over. So we need to, when we give it to God, leave it in his hands and humble ourselves before him. And then in verses 9 through 18, it's very simple. Encourage yourself in who God is and what he says he will do. And believe that he still is and that he will do what he says he will do. Listen, he says, do unto them as unto the Midianites, as to Sisera. All of these accounts are in Joshua 4, 5, 6, and 7. These are major conquerings in the book of Joshua. And he says, do unto them as unto the Midianites, as to Sisera, as to Jabin at the brook of Kishon, which perished at Endor. They became as dung for the earth. They became, what they did is their bodies became dirt again and fed the earth. God, do that again. We know, we saw it. Make their nobles like Oreb and Zeb, yea, all their princes as Zeba and Zalmunna, who said, let us take to ourselves the houses of God in possession. Remember what God has done. God does not need to prove himself. If you'll think back in your life, God's proven himself over and over and over and over again. In adversity, in other people's adversity, he's done it over and over. It's amazing. It is amazing that when we call on him, we somehow begin to doubt him. Well, here's the way to correct that in you and me. Here it is. Look at what God has done and rejoice. No. Not everything in your life is bad. There's been some great, just the fact that God saved your soul is a big deal. Big, big deal. Remember what God has done. Go back to who God is and what He has done. Oh my God, make them like a wheel, as the stubble before the wind, as the fire burneth a wood, and as the flame setteth the mountains on fire. So persecute them with thy tempest, and make them afraid with thy storm. God, prove yourself, watch, not to me, to them. Show them who you are. God, use my life, if need be, to show people who you are. How do you know? Well, fill their faces with shame that they may seek thy name, O Lord. The real theme of this psalm is not deliverance for your sake or for my sake. The real theme of this psalm is so that the heathen, those who would attack, would see God and recognize His name for who He is, because of your ability and my ability to trust His name and be encouraged in His name and depend on the things that He has done and proven Himself to be, so that they would not see us, but they would see Him. And they would know His name. Not just about Him, but know His name. Let them be confounded and troubled forever. Yea, let them be put to shame and perish, that men may know that thou, again, whose name alone is Jehovah, the ever-existent, eternal, forever one, the one who needs nothing to exist, the one who needs no one to exist. God, they need to know your name, and that thou art the Most High over all the earth. When you go through adversity, what is it that you're hoping to get out of it or be produced from it? It's amazing how much we talk about what we know God can do, but how we act as if God can do nothing. When the purpose of your adversity, my adversity, Paul covers this great in 2 Corinthians chapter number 1, that the adversity that happens in us is for comfort, to show others that God comforted us, helped us, to help them to be encouraged, that God can also do the exact same for them. When I'm in adversity and there are enemies, you know what God wants me to do? Live a life that shows that I am encouraged by who God is. I'm not fleeing from God. I'm not trusting myself. I'm not trusting the things that I can do. But I believe God is who He says He is. And that is, He is the Most High over all the earth. He is Jehovah. When He spoke to Moses and He told Moses, they've known me as God, now they're going to know me as Yahweh. They're going to see me as their God. They're going to see me as their deliverer. They're going to see me as the ever-existent one who can do things that Pharaoh never dreamed of doing. That was the entire point, to prove to the children of Israel, you're not following the gods of Egypt. You're following Creator God, who's been there forever. Who is, who was, and who is to come. We're not trusting, that's our God. People are not going to see that. Our enemies, people in the adversity watching around us, they're not going to see that unless we respond to God as He is this person, Jehovah, the Most High over all the earth. Why would we act any different than they should have acted in this moment? I love it because Asaph writes and says, God, the outcome that I'm praying for, he does pray that they would burn. He prays for their destruction. But ultimately, it's so that they would know His name. When you're going through adversity, when I'm going through adversity, when we're taking Friends Day cards and we're handing them out. What is the purpose of that? To have a number so we can say, oh boy, we had 3,500. No. It's so that people will know his name. It's our responsibility. It's the followers of God, our responsibility solely to show people his name. And when we're acting toward God the way we should act and trusting God the way we should trust him, then they're going to see something different than the world offers. You know who cannot be trusted in the world today, right now, politically? The United States of America. People are going to China. China! You go, well, Brother Ron, I don't see that makes any difference. It does. Because once a country that was a godly country is no longer godly, they're going to the most, you want to talk about the antithesis to godliness? It would be China. And that's where the world is flocking. All you have to do is look, they're flocking. They are actually saying, why would we trust America? They haven't kept any of their word. They say things, but they don't really mean them. Why? Well, as we observed this morning, because our judgment is not righteous judgment. And we handle adversity by giving into it. That's how we handle adversity now. Well, I mean, if they want that, we got to give into it. No. God, don't let me give up ground because you are God. You are Jehovah God. Help me stand in this adversity. I know that you can deliver me because you've done it before. Ultimately, help me as I go through this to show and prove to the enemy that you are not only worthy to be trusted, but you're the only one who should be trusted because you alone are the Most High. Folks, we struggle today with this reality of living our lives to show the adversaries God's name because we very rarely encourage ourselves in who he is. We give in to adversity more than we stand against it. It is very common for churches like this today that were once like this, to give in to the culture to gain people saying that they are going to introduce them to Christ. We've had, thousands of people saved at this rock concert that we had. That's not who our God is. It is not. God is not a God who's going to give in. God is a God who wins. He's already won. Don't give in. Don't give up. Be encouraged. He is still God, and there's none else. He's the Most High. Every head bowed, every eye closed.